What's good? Y'all miss me? I know it's been a week, took a week off, but I don't want to sit here and say we were doing it like, getting ready for side A and side B of a record, but it's kind of how it look, right? Well, we just gonna run with it. All right, y'all. So we are back again for another Super High Fire episode or track. And track 7 is a good one because it covers a specific topic as far as in decision making. So typically when we think like, is it too late to change, in our jobs, we thinking about quitting and becoming an entrepreneur. And although a lot of people are going to do that, this one is more so catered to those in their careers who want to just change careers totally. A lot of the inspiration for this episode came from, the dude at Walmart in Ohio. I think it was Ohio. And he quit his job to go be a supervisor at Walmart. And he was making like 53 something plus like bonuses. And he was only making in the 40s when he was a teacher. So he left it just based off of money. And although I'm not everybody gonna work at Walmart, it's just interesting to see, just have a discussion and contemplate, the importance and sometimes the need for changing your career altogether. So this episode kind of talks about that, talks about the mental health aspects of changing your career and, why millennials look for career change, how we need flexibility and, doing our homework, the importance of networking and all that good stuff, and even how COVID had an influence on that, and even a conversation about quitting just in general and why we so, it's so easy for us to quit. So as we navigate through this episode, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Once they graduated, and it was just like, I'm just here. So now it's like, okay, let me go ahead and make my transition because that was for a phase. And, I've been working behind the scenes and now an opportunity presented itself. And I do also believe this is the season where God is kind of saying, what didn't work then, try again now. You have to master, I say this all the time, you have to master one thing first before trying to do everything else. And people ain't mastered the one thing. And then they get mad when they just jump from thing to thing. And I call it the Ed, Edd n Eddy syndrome.
Ah. I'm back and it's up, PSA. Wow. I'm too fleek to take off all my shit at TSA.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
What's goody? How y'all feeling today? It's a good day. It's a wonderful day. It's Thursday. The day this episode drops. And, I still think I'm one of the most consistent, if not the most consistent podcaster, let alone in Houston, but really in general. We also going to talk about something else that I just thought about, too. Typically, I'm going to be honest with y'all because I feel like I can do that with y'all. My episodes are, a lot of cases, pre-recorded. This one is one of the ones where it's recorded the same week as the drop, And just being transparent, I didn't know if I wanted this track to have a get. Well, I originally wanted this track to have a feature, but, things happen. But, as I learned in the podcast world and just entertainment in general, the show must go on. So, here I am. This episode is also audio only, which I wanted to... And later on, I realized I was like, let me see something too with audio only, because with my other podcast, Bar for Bar with Izzy Baker on the Polaris Network, where authenticity matters, check them out. Check it out if you haven't, and just seeing me in a different light. But also, I wanted to see, over there, they're pushing just audio only for a while. And I want to see how it looks over here. Now, I'm not doing that just audio only every episode because a lot of these episodes is coming up in the next few weeks. I already recorded and some have already scheduled to be recorded. But also, I just want to see how this week is going to do. So that's why I'm kind of eager to see how it's going to look. But I'm ranting this morning. So let's go ahead and go and just jump into things. So track 7, and the track is titled, Is It Too Late to Change My Career Path? The meme reads, Little Miss or Mister, I'm changing my career at 27 because I'm not feeling the old one. Inspiration comes from just the season we're in. It's definitely a season of change. It's definitely a season of movement. And I do believe a lot of people's career is going to change, and some going to say the same. But for the most part, I think this is just a true season of just shifting and just movement. And I'm just inspired by people who, you know, they change their careers, especially at this age. And I definitely think the Walmart guy was inspiration for this, as I said, kind of in the, you know, my intro for the episode. And also just in general, just people who change their careers. I really am, you know, and I love the fact that this generation is not scared to change their career, even in like 30. Whereas the generation before, that was unheard of. You wouldn't change your career in no 30. If you ain't had no career by then, it was like, what you doing? All right. Okay, so let's jump right into things. I am by myself. Therefore, we have a story time, all right? And the story is titled, The Swift Shift. Ronnie was 27 years old. He had been working in his field for like 5 years now. Straight out of college, he went into working for a marketing company he didn't go to school for, but it kind of just fell in his lap. Listening to both his parents, they both kind of influenced him. Well, you know, it makes a lot of money, and kind of stated comments like, you know, you ain't gonna make that much money at your age, so you kind of need to take it. His job did pay well. However, he always felt like this wasn't what he wanted to do. Ronnie loved being an artist. Not just a regular artist like the one who does a lot of painting, but the one who was an artist in every meaning of the word. He could create, he could write, he could act, he can speak, he can do it all. What he did do, though, was while working at that job, he did decide that he created several business avenues and several other employment opportunities. It was one day out of nowhere, he got a phone call. He got a phone call from a man who had been watching him for a while and wanted him to come work for his company. His company catered to artists and catered to people who could help see the next big thing. Although Ronnie's parents were against it, and even his girlfriend, he decided that he wasn't too old for a change and decided that he had to follow his dreams, even if it meant leaving everything he knew and was comfortable with doing. All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and jump into the lesson from the story. So first of all, change can come in an instant. And I keep saying that even goes for me. You know, instantly change can come. Things can change suddenly, swiftly. And you have to be on go at all times. That's the season we in. It's kind of the revelation I've been getting just in general. Like, you have to just be ready and on go at all times. Can't know, oh, I got to get ready. Because I'm a firm believer that God's going to give you signs that it's time to, you know. But anyway, you'll have the signs, all right? Two, changing your career can change the trajectory of your life. In this case, it was a cliffhanger. We don't know what was going to change, but we do know it was going to be a big change, and we can kind of infer that based on how his girlfriend and his parents was like, nah, I don't think you need change. Or they was real like nervous and skeptical about it. Because here's the thing, people going to always be nervous and skeptical when it's about to be a drastic change, and they know it is. And then three, you're never too old to change. He had been working at a marketing thing for, 5 years? He was, 27? So he'd been doing this since he was 22. Meaning he probably graduated college around then, you know. And then, you know. And so, y'all, look, even though I make these little stories, there are a lot of, you know, gaps in there for a reason. Because I want people to use the inference. I want people to think and kind of, you know. And even in that case, we kind of see, like, he had been doing something for 5 years. But, you know, like I said, in our parents' age, if they started something at 22, they wouldn't change it. By the time they got 27, if anything, they'd been leveled up in their field, the field they were in. It wasn't no changing no career. That sounds crazy. But we are a little different. So there's that. All right. Okay, y'all. So now, again, I'm by myself. So let's move on to still, to this day, one of my favorite segments, questions that need addressing.
Question.
Now, this episode, I'm really liking, and I think it's going to be a really, really good one. So, first of all, the first question is, why are so many young millennials leaving their careers? I think a lot of us got put in careers because, you know, back again, if we compare it to the olden days, a lot of our parents and things, when they had a college degree, that was like, you know, having having a golden ticket at the Willy Wonka factory. So now that it's been so, you know, oversaturated, and obviously I'm a college graduate, so I would never downplay nobody's graduating. You know, I would never downplay anybody who graduated from college or anybody who got a college degree. But unfortunately, it is oversaturated. So not where everyone got a degree. And so now it's like, in some cases, you really need a master's to really, you know, make some moves. And I think this generation, you know, it's the easiest field to get into is education, because they need so many people, although so many people are leaving the field as well. And I think that people are leaving their careers because and not even just education, but a lot of professions, because a lot of people I do know personally who went in education on somebody just need a job and now they're there for life. But I think a lot of people are leaving because they just had to take a job, you know, once they graduated, and it was just like, I'm just here. So now it's like, okay, let me go ahead and make my transition. Because that was for a phase, and, you know, I've been working behind the scenes, and now an opportunity presented itself. And I do also believe this is the season where God is kind of saying, what didn't work then, try again now. Two. Why are we considered rebellious? We're considered rebellious because young millennials and millennials in general, we go against societal norms. And I believe that we're not, you know, caught up in the whole, oh, I got to do this because my mom and them did this, or my daddy and them did this. Or, you know, we like, no, that ain't going to work. We're not just going to go off of, yes, you know, this is how it's supposed to be, especially not me. And I think a lot of us are quick to question, like, why is it like that? Or, you know, whereas they just kind of was like, oh, okay, we just got to do it like this just because. I know my dad and my bonus mom, they had made a comment, and they was like, yeah. She was like, yeah, you change jobs like people change drawers. And then she said, you change jobs like people catch colds. I said, you're darn right. I don't care. Whereas in, you know, not even just in education, but just in the workforce period, it's not a good look to just be going from job to job. I don't care. This is how it's going to be. And not even just, because I know I ain't going to be here forever, you know, because that don't mean nothing to me. Even if I was, you know, I don't know what, well, I kind of do. But either way, the point that I'm making is, even if you are that person and this is a field you want to be in for life and you do change from job to job or from location to location, so what? I get it, you know, but millennials are, which we're going to get into as the episode goes along, about what makes them happy. And I feel like you have to be flexible, and being flexible to me is knowing when your time somewhere is up. And if you're not happy somewhere, why are you there? You know what I mean? My logic is, you can go somewhere else and make more money or the same money and be happy versus being somewhere, making money and being miserable. The third one, which I love this question and what I really want to highlight in this episode, it says, can you change your career and not be an entrepreneur? Absolutely. I think a lot of times as, you know, millennials and just the people in general, I think that everybody thinks that we want to quit our jobs and go be a YouTuber, or go quit our job and go be a painter, or quit our job and go be, you know, I don't know why I say it's still bean pies. I don't know why they can't. Or go be a rapper. That's a big one too. You know, again, I said it once, I said it again, not everybody can rap, but at the same time, you have to know your lane. But, you know, I think that's what they think a lot of us want to do. And that's why I kind of highlighted in the short story where I kind of showcased what a dude, he was like an artist. So I didn't specify what type of artist. You got to use your imagination. But he still was going to go work for somebody. And that's the thing. Some people, which is okay, don't mind they 9-to-5. Because at the end of the day, with a 9-to-5, still currently having one, you know for a fact you're going to get your check, whether it be every 2 weeks or monthly. And it's going to look the same. Unless you run out of days. And I do that too sometimes in the school year. I do be running out of days. But here's the thing. Here's why. You ain't asked, but I'm going to say it anyway. The reason I run out of days is because, In education and like the ISDs, if you anybody know, if you know, you know, you get like 10 days. One of my school districts, we had 8 days. But the last little few years, I'm at schools where we only get like 5 days to use. So out of the whole school year, you know, I was using five a semester. So now we only got 5 days. I'm already mentally preparing how I'm going to use them. And probably at least three or four I'm going to be used this semester. So my thing is, you know, I have other sources of income. So it's like if I got to miss a day next semester, whatever, then, you know, it's going to make up for with all my other projects. The money's still going to come in. You know what I mean? Because when you're a money magnet like myself, you're a money magnet. But at the same time, I don't want to take advantage. But, you know, that's the beauty of not being a core classroom teacher. And I was watching, y'all know Sweet Life season 2 is back on. And the dude on there, Rob, he was a teacher. I don't think he can be no teacher no more because he, in the episode, although, you know, we know reality TV is pre-recorded. So he had kind of made a comment like he just wanted to plunge into his comedy, which, you know, I'm all for people making their plunge. But he made a comment. He said, F them kids. He can't go back because they're going to see that. And they're like, that's not appropriate for no teacher to say. Although most teachers feel that way. And I can understand why they feel that way. He said that on the national. He said it on TV. So I don't think he can come back. So I guess in that comment, I don't know if he forgot the cameras were there or what, but I'm like, yeah, he can't go back if he wanted to. But the point I'm making is he's making that plunge to, you know, follow his dreams. And that's great. But and maybe he was just done altogether. I don't know the man personally, but my opinion is I feel like he should have did kind of like me. Like it's so many jobs in education that pay teacher salary that don't require you to be a core classroom teacher. And then just where my track in life is at the moment, you know, I still want a way where I can be effective and helpful and a great influence, but not necessarily be a core classroom teacher and not, especially not a tested subject. So, you know, with me being an interventionist, you know, I'm still effective. I'm still helpful and still able to, you know, make a difference while still not as much pressure and stress as a full core classroom teacher. Now, for those who know education, you know exactly what I'm saying. But I had a conversation with my friend. She was like, well, why don't you just be a teacher? Because I had told her that one of the schools was trying to make me a teacher. I'm like, nah, that's not going to work. She's like, well, why don't you just be a teacher? But she don't work in education and she don't understand. And it's no shade. It's just that y'all don't get it if you're not in education. But if you're in education, you totally understand. And then the fourth question that needs addressing, is it too bad to quit? Hell no. Now, most people, when they think of quitting, they think of, you know, disgrace. What was it? Lion King, deception, disgrace. They think you're a disgrace for quitting. Not I will quit. Most people think, I feel like, you know how with people, they'll have like, you know, this is my absolute last resort. I don't know why. I think I'm a little nerdy at times. I think of Naruto and I think of like how God Sensei, he had the eighth gate. And that was like the last resort, like when I'm fighting somebody that's just super strong or, you know, those TV shows and them games and animes, and they be like, this is my last resort. Okay, see, with me, quitting is one of the options. So ain't no last resort. It's one of my options. Like I got it right here on my keypad. Quit. You know, when things wasn't going my way at one job, I almost quit, but they got it together the day of. But here's why it's so funny. They got it together the day of because I was most certainly about to quit and I was most certainly had some lined up. And literally the day I would have quit, because I still end up staying at the job because clearly they came to their senses. But the next day I legit had calls coming in from the other jobs and I had to tell them, oh, never mind. I took another position, but it was going to work out to where I was going to quit that one place and then go to interviews the next few days. So I had it set up, but luckily for them, they came to their senses. So we're going to give them a round of applause for that. All right. Okay, y'all. So now let's move on to my other good segment. What does this have to do with mental health? All right. So when we think of mental health, we think of how we act, think, and feel. We think of our brains and how does changing the job affect that? So according to how a career change can benefit your mental health. One of the reasons your current job is impacting your mental health may be that you're working too many hours. You may also be working overtime without pay. This can result in feeling extremely stressed and burnt out. By moving to a job with fewer hours, you can get back the time you need to unwind and live the rest of your life. So now let's unpack that. So first of all, no job is going to overwork me. It couldn't if it wanted to. I'm not going. What Jennifer Hudson say, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. Like, no job is going to stress me out. I'm not going to be overworked. And I'm going to find a way to work on my dreams and goals at the job. And some people will try to argue and say, well, then that means you're not giving your job 100. I'm like, yes, I am. Because I've still been able to get good scores when I was a classroom teacher, like an official one, and still work on my stuff at work. I was still able to cater to my other side hustles, you know, which was, you know, well, doing people homework when I, you know, was doing that. And yeah, so if the job is done, why does it matter? But see, some people argue that you're not, you know, giving it your all. But like I said, if the job is done, it shouldn't even matter how it's getting done, if it's done. But, you know, some people like to just be petty. But ultimately, a new career can literally brighten your whole mood, and in some cases, a new location. So, as I stated earlier with me, I change jobs a lot. Well, and it's not always on purpose. You know, if I don't feel happy at a school, I will go somewhere else. Again, one of my old bosses, she tried to challenge that when I was getting in trouble. And I'm going to say it like it is. People was hating on me at this one job. And lying on me and saying I said stuff I didn't say. And, you know, all that good stuff. And she was like, well, why do you change jobs so much? And I told her, I said, every school has a legit, you know, reasoning why. And she didn't really believe it. But she is a little older. But, you know, she kind of stated the whole thing in a good look. But it is what it is. I think that sometimes just a breath of fresh air, whether it's new people, new location, you know, new money even. Because sometimes, you know, that's the reason, too, why people move. Money is good. More money is going to make you happy because then, well, again, money don't buy happiness. But what I'm saying is just a new change. You know, even if you working at the same location or change the position, you making more money. That's a change in your career. And that can help things out. I mean, some more dollars. Like, what? You know what I mean? And especially if you're doing a job that may be easier. And even if you are doing a harder job, it's worth the money because then it's like, okay, you can spend a little better. You know, $500 extra on the check is a difference. So let alone $1,000, you know what I mean? Or say if you get paid monthly, you know, $500 each check is a lot. Or you know, even $250 each check is a lot. I mean, every 2 weeks. But you get what I mean. More money. They say more money, more problems. And a lot of cases, I agree with that. But in some of these cases, some of these jobs, not so much. It's actually, you know, more beneficial. But, you know, more money can bring more drama, too, because then you may be required to do more. And that's something to consider as far as like with mental health stuff and what influences how we act, think, and feel. But I think it's best. And going back to the dude on Sweet Life, I think he should have personally. I mean, and his career, as obviously as the show unfolds, we'll see more. But I think that him being the comedian, I think that he should. That's what he should have did. Got him a little job in education where, you know, it was still paying good. But that way he could have did both and it would have been tripping. Because, like, I'm telling y'all, they hate to hear it. But when you're in education, if you're doing a job that's not a core classroom teacher, they're not going to trip on you missing work. They're not going to trip on stuff as hard unless you just got like an a-hole principal. For the most part, if you ain't no core classroom teacher and you don't teach a tested subject, it's just kind of like have good management, classroom management, and make sure the kids doing what they're supposed to be doing and you good. But, you know, it's a science to a lot of different stuff, really. And that's another thing. Don't let no job make you feel stressed or burnt out. Even if you, in whatever it is, you saying, you may have to get to the point where you say, you know, and we not talking education, but just in general, you say, I can't do that because of my mental health, or I'm not finna be burnt out, you know, tired, you know, come home, take a nap for work, from work and wake up, it's the next day, time to get up and get right back up. Because that's happened to me before. Like, I've taken a nap after work and woken up, and it's like time to go to work the next day. I remember when I worked the summer camp one year, going into my junior year of college, I was 20 that summer, 2014, and that was my first summer away from home and my second summer after college. So I remember that summer camp was so intense. Like, I came home, went to sleep, woke up, went to the restroom, and then went back to sleep. It was days I would do that. And granted, that was summer camp, but there are people who, and so it was kind of like you can look past it, but it's people who work regular jobs and that happens to them. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. And if that's the case, then you need to find you another job or a side hustle that gives you, you know, that scratches that itch. Something that scratches that itch. Because I mean, some people can go through autopilot, but it's hard for me to do jobs that I can't stand. It just don't work. It just don't work. So mentally, I feel like in the long term and in the long run, doing a job that you hate or, you know, that's just not scratching that itch, it's just, you're just not going to feel fulfilled. You're not going to feel fulfilled. And yeah, that's my stance on that. All right, y'all. So now let's move into the other segment, the weekly sabbatical. And in this segment, we just kind of reflect on things and all that good stuff. And, you know, again, I haven't had too many episodes. I think I for sure, what, this might be like the third episode of the season by myself. Third or fourth. Not that many. I got to go look back and look. But the goal is definitely to have some more solo episodes. Still going to be the interview, you know, experience interview-based podcast. But I do want to have a few more by myself because I like the flow and the vibe. But I trust me, mark my words, I will have if at least... The goal is more than one, but at least one episode where I'm just by myself and you can see me. But we're saving that for later. So, with the weekly sabbatical, asking a question, and this goes for y'all. Y'all ask yourselves, y'all listening. I'm going to, you know, be transparent and candid with, you know, with you all. So, the first question is, do I want to change my career? And only you know the answer to that, but I'm going to answer to y'all. I do. You know, and then, well, the second question then is, why do I want to change it? So, do I want to change it? Yes. Why do I want to change it? I want to change my career because, first of all, you know, anybody who knows me prior to getting education know I wanted nothing to do with education. Both my parents been in education, and I just was not like, I wasn't, them wasn't the vibes, right? It kind of, I was fighting it for the longest after college. Then I kind of got into it, which, you know, my backstory, which for those that don't, I'm about to break it down. Half a year as a sub, 2 years as a teacher assistant, 2 years as a teacher, 1 year as an interventionist, and now I'm in another year as an interventionist. And, you know, the kids are something else, but not like bad, bad, but they definitely, I'm thankful that if God called me to, you know, something with podcasting or, and it's one of my dreams and goals as far as my dream career today, and I had to leave education behind to put in my 2 weeks or however God wanted to see it fit. I'm thankful that even in the years that I've been, you know, effective for students. I've given them tips and tricks for how to navigate school. But also one of my main goals was to teach life lessons that that'll last a lifetime. And I know it's stuff that I've said to them that they'll never forget. And I know just my impression that, you know, they'll remember the stuff I say, then say it because I done said some off the wall, some wild, funny stuff. But, you know, even us, we got them teachers we remember that says some stuff to us, good and bad. Now, for me, I know it's going to be more good, but we had those teachers, you know, and it's good to have been that. If like I said, if the door opens to destiny, if the call for destiny calls and I answer today, tomorrow, you know, at least I know I did what I did, why I did it, if that makes sense. But that's something you need to ask yourself. Do you want to change your career? And if so, why? You know, and answer that question. You know, I just know that for me, I'm not fully fulfilled. Don't get it twisted. When I say fulfilled, I instantly thought of Jocelyn's. Welcome to Jocelyn's Cabaret, where every desire will be fulfilled. I'm not fulfilled. You know, it helps and it is, you know, rewarding, but I ain't fulfilled. I'm not fulfilled. But I know that, you know, it serves a purpose. And I always look at it like David preparing for Goliath, even though he never realized he was preparing for Goliath. But when he was fighting the bears and the lions and stuff, you know, he was being trained up to be prepared for that and didn't even realize it. So a lot of stuff that you're doing, your job currently, whatever it is, it's preparation. So look at it like that. Now, according to why millennials are desperately looking for a career change, there's a few reasons as to why. The first one, as I just stated, is a need for purpose. Employers need to get one thing out of their heads for good. This movement of the younger generation is not a question of laziness. They are moving for a reason. And employers need to emphasize to have a hope of retaining them. One big reason is purpose. Young millennials, just like every other generation before them, want to feel like their job matters. For each generation, this career purpose looks different. Sometimes it's a personal purpose, sometimes it's a familial purpose, and sometimes it's a social impact. Nevertheless, the job has to matter to them for it to be worthwhile. And that's the thing. A lot of these jobs don't matter to us, and even if it matters, it's still just not, like I said, it's not scratching that itch. And I feel like that's being honest and when you say that it's not, because you need to be real with yourself. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that you have more in mind and you realize that this isn't your God-given purpose, and that's okay. The second one is a need for flexibility. The resulting workplace changes caused by the pandemic has made all the employees more aware of their need for flexibility. Many employees, especially those of younger generation, have decided to shun the traditional work models for ones that suit their lives. Did you know that 65% of workers who said their jobs can be done entirely remote were willing to take a pay cut to stay at home? That signifies a desire to value work-life balance over money. Furthermore, it signifies a desire to assert control over one's own career. They want reciprocated values and investment between themselves and their company. Work-life balance is often a term that we hear thrown around, but the pandemic has caused the real world implications of that phrase into stark clarity. Okay, so basically, again, the pandemic has made people just say they want to work at home and they're willing to take a pay cut to work at home. Because, I mean, it kind of balances out, though, because say, for instance, you are taking a pay cut to work at home and you want to work remote. You're not spending money on food out all the time, because a lot of times, let's keep it funky. We work, we getting lunch. Now, this year, I'm going to save a lot of money. Well, however long I'm there. But this year or this, you know, I'm going to save a lot of money at the school. Because this school, which, you know, made me gasp at first, but I try to find the beauty and everything, they actually don't allow us to leave for lunch. So therefore, you have to bring your lunch, and they don't even let us do Uber Eats like that. I do know our principal said that maybe the first, you know, Friday of the month that they'll all put in and we'll all order food that day. But, I mean, that's a lot of money that's going to be saved if we can't go to lunch. You know what I mean? Because that does add up. And I know people in my old job who went out and bought food for lunch every day. So how much money is going to be saved doing that? And then, hey, and if you're trying to lose weight or trying to master, you know, your diet or whatever, that's good too, because you can practice intermittent fasting, and that's good. So then that's helpful too. You know, so you got to, that's how I look on the bright side of everything, or at least try to. But with the pandemic and then with the monkeypox going on, okay. When I think of that, I think of, do y'all remember, what's that movie? Beauty Shop. And Shirley Underwood was the radio head at the time. And, oh no, was it Shirley Underwood? And she was selling the monkey bread. And she said, so good to make it just say, eat, eat. Y'all remember that? And she was VH1 doing reruns like how BET used to do Baby Boy. So you might can catch it if you ain't already caught it. But I remember I was in Chicago. And I was with somebody. I don't want to blow their cover. Because situation, they really could get in trouble. And basically, they was trying to get out of going to work, you know, and missing a flight. And so what I did was I said, here's what we going to do. I was playing. Everybody was laughing, but I was down for the go if needed. And I was like, we're going to tell them you got monkeypox and then you can't come to go to work. So I started, I said, you call your people and I'm going to just be in the background being like, eep, 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 eep. And then everybody fell out laughing, but I was serious. Like, I'm real. I was going to help Buddy out, but, you know, he ended up, you know, getting off and he have to do all that. But I would have did it. I would have did it. But, you know, that's something to think about. Seriously, though, if you want to be at home, some people are legit terrified of these the pandemic and, you know, the monkeypox. And that's, you know, that's you, right? So they were willing to take that pay cut to work from home. But there's so many ways to make money these days. It's scary. Legally. Not being the PPP boy. I'm just saying legally, you know. And finally, a need for growth. It says, lastly, young talent make career change to staff off stagnation. They want to continue personal professional growth at every point along their career. According to Forbes, 89% of millennials and Gen Z workers said that they would stay with the same company for 10 or more years if the company provided opportunities for upward career mobility and constant increase in compensation. The problem is that changing companies remains the most effective way to secure a significant promotion. When a career occur changes or comes about, the typical pay increase is 3% and 5%. This phenomenon is an inherent and pervasive issue. No company values young talent like the one that meeting them for the first time. It's a manifestation of the old saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone. What are some ways in which you can navigate the transition, you may ask? It says, I have some tips that come from millennials on the move and tips for navigating a career change in your 30s. All right. So obviously I'm not 30. But, you know, we're going to get into those tips in a minute. But before I get into that, let me ask this question. Do you ever feel as though you're existing and not living? Here's the thing. I look at, did y'all hear about Angela Yee? She made a post and she said the Breakfast Club is not, you know, going to be the same. And the Breakfast Club, as you know it, is over. And that's because her personal podcast or radio, whatever, which was it? What was it called? Lip Service. And then she's getting picked up for a syndicated, you know, talk show, which was her goal from the beginning. When I think of growth, I think of that situation. And I think it's beautiful to see her transition on because we didn't watch The Breakfast Club since 2010. It's 2022. So in a sense, whether they replace her or they just go DJ Envy and Charlamagne, it's the end of an era. And I think it's interesting to see just how that goes about and just to see how she's elevated and moved up in her career. And that's promotion in a sense because she's getting her own syndicated talk show, which she said she was always the goal. And, you know, of course, her other stuff that she's been doing is now national. So even with stuff like that, promotion, we just talked about promotion and career change, you know. She didn't drop all her stuff to just be an entrepreneur. Technically, she still have her stuff on the side, but she's still about to go work for somebody else because she's still going to do the talk show. That's still working for somebody else. Although, again, she got money, she rich, and she got her other businesses as well. But the point, again, is what I'm making is, you know, you have to stick sometimes with a place for a while. And clearly, the Breakfast Club served her these years. She just not leaving, and she's only leaving because she's going to something better. She didn't leave on bad terms, and she still left professionally. And I think sometimes us as young millennials, which is funny, and I kind of have the mindset, too, we are quick to just say F the job, that sometimes we might have to just be a little professional and just kind of wait it out till we get the dreams, you know, the goal of our dreams. And so it's kind of a split. Another episode, you know, the episode we had early in the season. I told you this one is totally different than Dear Millennial F This Job. This one is more so just navigating the career change versus, you know, knowing when it's time to leave is when you saying F that job, EFF. And then this one is just like, you know, letting you know it's not too late to change your career if you want to change your career and just the ways to go about it. So with the tips for navigating career change and in your 30s. And if you're not quite 30 yet, that's fine because it still applies because I'm not quite 30. It says, do your homework. When thinking of making a leap, the same early career advice applies. Research, research, research. You have to accept that you don't know what you don't know. And that's okay because the beauty of where you are versus 10, 20 years ago is that we have way more tools at our disposal to help. us validate, and this is the financial feasible move for us to make. Be sure to look up projected salary bands for different roles in your new sector or profession and see what you might expect for pay. Tools that are helpful with this, Salary Glassdoor and LinkedIn are great sources, and check out salaries for this position. Look for those who are already in these roles. And, you know, me personally, I don't like doing homework, but there's some homework I do like doing, just kind of, you know, and this is something you can do at your current job, looking up the salaries, looking up, you know, whatever job it is, maybe even YouTube, using YouTube as people who talked about the profession. And I'm even going to go as far as to say, look at people in on YouTube who said the negative sides of the profession, so you know what to expect. And that just dropped. So I think that's a good thing to look out and look into, too. Skills gap and self-assessment. This is before you go quitting one field for another, time to hold up what I call the heavy mirror. This is where we have to get real with ourselves about what we have for skills and what we don't. Passion is important. It can certainly make the difference when interviewing, but it usually needs to be intersected with a marketable skill to land you a job offer. If someone's paying you to work for them, they need to know you have what it takes to do the job correctly, efficiently, and to the standard their customer organization expects. Here's how to get started. It says, so what I will say is, I hate when people be like, I can do this or I can learn something, and you either got it or you don't. But I'll say this. You have to know what you can do, what you can't do. Like I said, everybody can't do everything, and I love to see people who can say, if I don't know how to do it, I can learn it. And that's a good skill to have. But in some cases, you have to master, I say this all the time, you have to master one thing first before trying to do everything else. And people ain't mastered the one thing, and then they get mad when they just jump from thing to thing. And I call it the Ed, Ed, and Eddie syndrome. You know, they get rich quick scheme. Okay, I'm going to try this. This ain't work. Okay, I'm going to jump over here. You know, this podcast stuff. And again, I think I said this on here before, and I'm going to say this again. Tiffany Montgomery had reposted something and said it takes 7 to 10 years to be an overnight success. So although this is the overnight success season, or that's what it's going to feel like, and that's what it's going to look like to the world for some of us, you still have to just be patient in that certain industry and waiting. But even with me saying that, I will say that upskilling is a thing. Okay. And the best thing you can do, which is, you know, you can do it sooner than later, is start filling in your own gap so it's not a barrier when you start applying. It says the clients that I've seen nail this transition, invested the time in upskilling, even if that meant a small gap on their resume, is worth it. Recruiters don't mind seeing someone step back in order to leap forward. This can absolutely be done through traditional means like formal certifications and degree programs, but it also be done using skill-specific platforms like LinkedIn Learning, Udemy, Udacity, Coursera, or even YouTube, especially for tutorials or certain system and platforms. Now, see, y'all, I said YouTube earlier, and it says, if you can't do something, find someone who can. So if you can't do it and you need help, go on YouTube, or if you know somebody personally, like I said, it's good networking. I think that's when networking comes in, which is actually the next segment. It says, let your network help you. It says, saying I messed up and picked the wrong field, now I'm stuck and annoyed and I didn't figure this out sooner. It says, notice how tough we can be on ourselves. We need to stop trying to map out our life blueprint using a Sharpie. Draw the thing in pencil and hold on to the eraser, because change is inevitable. And that doesn't mean you fail. So if you want to change your career and it ain't working, please, y'all, don't feel like you're a failure, because, well, you need to fail in some cases anyway, but that's, you know, how you grow. It just means that you evolved. It says, I mean, who out there is the same person in their 30s they were in their early 20s? Fortunate favors the bold, and there's no shame in asking for help. And then it just kind of states about, you know, the few types of people in your network you may want to connect with and be ready. So it says, connect with the well-connected. It says, while I'm always going to scream from the rooftop that LinkedIn is the easy way to connect with people in the dream job, don't just network online. It says, as the COVID dust settles, we're seeing more and more events move back into person venues. So leverage these circles. Connect with your local chamber of commerce. They know everyone. And workforce development office to see what mixes and events have coming up. Maybe it's a job fair or webinar with a few panelists in your space. I'm all for that. I'm all for networking, talking to people. Social media is powerful. Take advantage of it. It's here. Utilize it. Utilize it. Utilize it. Because it's here for a reason. It's here for your success. And That's the main thing, y'all. It's just best to use, and it's especially when navigating a new thing. And look, it go down in a DM. Ooh. You know, I've said this before on here. One of the strategies they teach you with marketing, and I know for podcast marketing, but a lot of marketing just in general, is to really be in these DMs. You know, follow a bunch of people, spam their pages. You know, send them a come up with like a little blueprint or introducing yourself, saying what you do. Check this out. Let me know what you think. Of course, some people not gonna respond, and that's okay. But you need to still put yourself out there, because there's gonna be a lot of people that do, and there's a lot of people that's enjoying what you're doing, or will have the resources or tools to, you know, get you to where you want to go, if that makes sense. Now, as I stated before, it go down in the DM. I'm going to give my take on the vanish mode, because see, sometimes in this world, some people, when you reach out to them being friendly because of networking and things, they may think you like them. And sometimes they do the same to you with the intent of trying to get something else. Ooh. And they think you like them, or they like you, and they get in these vanish modes and, you know, lose their mind. And, you know, whenever I get on my Instagram and I see the vanish mode, and say one, you know, some people like the vanish mode because, you know, they, I guess, turns them on, and, you know, to each his own. But I said it on my story, and I'm going to say it here. If that vanish mode go on, you going to vanish. Because that's not what I'm on. Especially if you turn the vanish mode, and then it'd be so creepy because it'll be like y'all just talking, and then it'll just say one new message. That means you being sneaky and you sending something you don't want nobody to see. Now, has there been cases where people have sent stuff that is like, you know, stuff where it's like information that can't be, you know, which, and it don't be nothing like weird? Absolutely. But a lot of time, y'all freaked out. Y'all freaked out. And this ain't that. Okay. So hang it up. Business only. That is it. That is all. Ending off today, y'all, I just want y'all to be comfortable with transition and being okay with changing your career. And as I keep saying, you making a decision to leave from one career to the next. You know, the great example, as I stated earlier, with the Walmart guy, and, you know, even Angela Yee. So I really like that with this episode. And although it's audio only, it's still full of, you know, knowledge is still great, and it's still popping. So ending off with the question, the challenge for the week. So do you feel the desire to change your career? If so, why? If not, why not? So if you're comfortable in your career, let me know why. Okay. All right, y'all. So now we transitioning again, as next week we're going into what it's like to be a young millennial and dating, and the struggles with that. You know, we talked about changing careers, but then we talking about, you know, how dating is, and it can be pretty intense. And I have a licensed professional. All right. I have somebody, a relationship expert, so to say. So that's going to be a good one. All right, y'all. PSA signing out. Always remember, keep your head up like your neck hurt. Remember who you are. Make your mind up. Don't let it make you.